Dr. Patricia Knoll is a counselor who's been working with people for decades. She's also a drug addiction specialist, and she's an acupuncturist. In addition, she's an author of the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you listen to this each week and you buy her book, you too can proudly be good with me. All right, everybody, thanks so much. Appreciate you being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show. It's right here on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm Pete O'Shea, Kathy Curtis on the board right now. Today's word of the day is frankincense. Do you know what it means? Now, going into today, I did not know what it means, but then I went to an event, and they actually gave me a thing that tells you what frankincense means. So, thankfully, I'm good. I know what it means now. The question today is still, what do you want for Christmas that money just can't buy? 855-265-2929, or text into us also, 727-487-9863. If you got a question, a prayer also, God's story to tell, go ahead. All right, now, we are here with Dr. Patricia Knoll. The book, again, is called Go With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. You can get a copy by going to gowithme.com. Again, I'm telling you, for Christmas, the best thing you could do is to buy three copies. This is so good of a book that I'm telling you. And I'm not saying this so you read three times. That's not what I meant, okay? You can read one book three times. I'm saying get three copies. Buy one for yourself, one for your very, very best friend, and one, Kathy, I want you to get one for that neighbor next door that you haven't talked to in a while.
Yes, it's on my list.
Okay, and then this way, that's the reparative thing that you're going to get the relationship back. Here, I'm going to get you this book, and we're going to be good with me together.
Along with a dozen cookies or so.
Yeah, some with some cookies also. That would help. So that's something to do. It's a great thing to do for Christmas. One for yourself, one for your best friend, and one for that person that you just drives you crazy who you haven't got along with. And say, look, I want a second chance with you. I'm going to work on myself, you work on yourself, and then let's swing back together and work on it together.
Yeah, and I have something to add to that.
Sure, go ahead.
A lot of people who read it once, read it three times.
They do, because there's so much in it that you have go back and absorb it a little, you know, so you will go back and read it. There's no doubt about it. You'll read it a couple of times. All right, we're starting chapter four today, The Other Dependent Esteem. Now, last week we did self-esteem. That comes from yourself. Just because. Self-esteem, love, desire of yourself, feeling good about yourself just because you exist. That's self-esteem. Now, today we're going to do other dependent esteem, which is completely different, isn't it, though?
Totally different.
Yeah, tell them what it is.
It's when we're dependent upon someone or something outside of ourselves to esteem us so that we can esteem ourselves. It comes from outside of us.
So you say right here, for example, if your boss tells you you're doing a great job today, then automatically...
I esteem myself.
Right.
However, it doesn't belong to me, and so it doesn't last very long. I need the boss to keep telling me over and over and over again that I am doing a good job.
So what if he goes by your desk one day and doesn't say anything?
Then I'm bummed.
Right. Now everything just sinks, right?
Exactly.
Okay, and then you wonder, say, well, what's wrong? Why? What's wrong? Did I do something wrong? Is my work not good? All of a sudden, you become really, you know, self-conscious of that and who you are at that point, because the one time you didn't get the affirmation that you need in order to have any kind of...
Right, and other dependent esteem means we're dependent upon that affirmation in order to feel good.
Wow. So other dependent esteem, you say it right here, is derived from other people's good opinions of us. So any compliment, any praise you get, that, and we mistake that as self-esteem, don't we?
Yes. And here's the catch-22 with this too, Pete, and I'm not sure where we're at here, but if someone does compliment me, and I don't think I'm doing a good job, then I wonder, what do you want from me that you're telling me that I'm so good?
Is that why you said I was doing a good job earlier, Kathy? I don't have any money. You know that. I'm broke. You know
Stop.
This. All right. Just kidding.
And the other thing is, I wonder what's wrong with you if you're telling me I'm so good.
Wow. So this gets really convoluted.
It's deep.
And it goes back to what you said originally, is because we have so little real self-esteem, we think so little of ourselves, when people go ahead and give us a compliment, we actually take it the wrong way.
Right. We won't even accept it and let it in, for real.
Wow. And again, it comes down to, again, we're right here at the beginning of chapter 5, compliments or praises. Maybe you achieved some kind of a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had some measure of success. So the world thinks, by measure of success, or what's on your business card, or what's in your bank account, that you're all that. And now that's where you get now your who you are. That's how you get the value of who you are from that.
That's right. So it isn't about who we are at all. It's about what we do or have or know.
So even silly stuff, the clothes we wear.
That's right.
We are the right height. We are funny. We are intelligent. All these things, the list goes on and on of all the different ways that perception from others gets into who we are, what we're doing, what we're wearing, and then that determines not just our, this other dependent esteem, but our own self-worth and our everything, our opinion of ourselves.
Right.
Wow. Now, it goes even one step further, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not just what people say to us, but it's, again, societal perceptions. Television and advertising, isn't that a big part of it?
Oh, absolutely. We're taught all the time about how we should be and what we're supposed to have. And we compare ourselves to what we're told we should have and what we should be and what we should have. And then we start comparing ourselves to others to see where we are kind of in the pecking order and are we good enough. And usually we aren't good enough.
So even like, okay, so you don't look as good as the model does. You're not drinking the right drink. You're not wearing the right clothes. You don't have the right car. We're programmed by Madison Avenue that we're losers if we don't have that product or that service or whatever that is that they're hawking to us.
That's right. And we buy into it. So they're really controlling us and we allow it.
And when we have that, what we call, you're calling the other dependent esteem, we're extremely vulnerable to that, much more than if it was real self-esteem, right?
Oh, real self-esteem, we wouldn't even pay attention to it like we do when we have other dependent esteem. Other dependent esteem is almost like that's life and death.
And so this, and, wow.
Yeah, that it matters that much.
And it winds up affecting everything, our self-worth, our value. You know, we wound up valuing ourselves lower because we don't have a Lexus,
right.
And because we don't travel, and because we don't do this, and because we don't look like that skinny little model who hasn't eaten in 14 years, you know, has all that makeup.
Or is Photoshopped.
Exactly, Photoshopped or full with makeup, and if you take all that away, you know, there's nothing.
There's nothing that's any different from anyone else.
But we project a lesser version of ourselves next to that that image that's so fake.
That's right.
And then from that, we have so low a self-esteem.
That's right.
And again, we don't even realize we're doing this. So, of course, of our lifetime, they've done this.
They
do studies on this, the advertising agencies, and to know how to do this, how to manipulate our brains.
Mm-hmm. So they're feeding into our lack of self-esteem and know it. And there's one study that's pretty recent with just young girls. And the more that they watch television, the worse they feel about themselves.
Wow. Wow. Okay, and so this other dependent esteem you speak of can actually sometimes feel like actual self-esteem, right?
That's right.
And that's a dangerous problem right there.
That's really dangerous because if it feels like real self-esteem and we don't know what real self-esteem really is, then we're less likely to admit that we don't have self-esteem because, you know, that's our smokescreen. That's our cover-up. That's how we hide. That's how we get to look good. That's how we get the approval. So we don't want to blow our cover by admitting that we don't have it.
Another part of it is that it's very fleeting.
Doesn't last.
It doesn't sustain. It doesn't last. It's very transient, as you say here in the book. Mm-hmm. And so it comes and goes. So because of that, we wind up in these huge peaks and valleys emotionally. Instead of having any kind of stability, you know, self-esteem-wise, we're all over the map because of that.
We are up and down because there never will be enough kudos, enough praise, enough accomplishments, enough successes to last.
When you yo-yo diet and you gain the 20 pounds and put it back on, which, okay, I'm very guilty of doing. I get that. It's very unhealthy for your body. I would imagine the same thing here, this yo-yo of high feeling about yourself when somebody compliments you, and then low, nothing when you look at the TV and you don't match up. That's very damaging long-term to you, isn't
it? It is.
Yeah. And so we have to be very careful of this and realize that what's going on here, all right? So let's get clear about a very, very important part, all right? There's a big vary between this high and low, and there's a big difference between, again, the other dependent esteem and self-dependent esteem. There's a chasm between those two, isn't there, Doc?
There is.
Yeah. So, okay. But we have to be able to start, be able to identify them, all right? And we have to be able to start we have to recalibrate our minds. We have to reprogram ourselves.
We do, because when we're other dependent, any respect or admiration for ourselves is other dependent. It depends on how much someone else respects us or admires us. So we don't own any of that. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to others. And we're depending on someone else who doesn't feel good about themselves to tell us whether we're good enough or not.
And as you say right here on page 21, the beginning of chapter 4, anything that's external that we use to gain our self-esteem is in no way, shape, or form a reliable or accurate judge of who we actually are.
That's right.
Even if we think that it is.
That's right.
It's not even close to who we actually are.
Right. Why would we give all of that power to someone else or something else when they don't know any more than we know?
And they don't know who we are, really. They don't know the true who we are.
They don't.
We don't either, because we've allowed this to take place of who we are.
Right. So the way that they judge us is dependent upon how they judge themselves and not about us.
So we're letting someone else's mind, someone else's eyes, someone else's heart, someone else's everything determine who we think we are.
Yeah, whether we're good enough or not.
Oh, wow, guys. And see that? We've been all doing that. We've been doing that our whole lives. We all have. I've been doing it. Kath, you're in right on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been.
That low self-esteem will get you.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm here.
Because
doing what I do.
Because it's so prevalent. Because it's so prevalent, too. And because you lived it. Because you know.
And
it's pretty much everybody. I don't think there's anybody that can say they don't have some measure of other dependent esteem. That's a universal thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So, we're going to take a break. We come back again. We're going to talk about how even that other dependent esteem can also sometimes come from your own eyes.
That's right.
See, this is complicated, guys, but it's really not, because Doc breaks it down really simply and really easy in the book. And again, that's why you got to get the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. Again, we're talking about other dependent esteem and how that comes from other people. But there are times when that other dependent esteem actually comes from our eyes also, too. We'll talk about that in a little bit more of this stuff. This is really good stuff, guys, so pay real close attention. We'll be right back. I love you, and I love Jesus.
Looking for a place to worship, belong, and serve with other believers? Join us at Abundant Life Ministries at 1550 Belcher Road South in Largo. We are a life-giving, spirit-filled church that is culturally relevant but biblically sound. We're about loving God and loving people. Our five purposes are worship, connect, grow, serve, and share. Sunday services are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1 p.m. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is family night with something for all ages, including nursery, kids clubs, the Tribe Student Ministries, the Well Young Adult Group, Celebrate Recovery, and Adult Bible Study. We are an outreach church that is active in the community, the region, and all over the world. Pastor Anthony McDaniel and his wife Kendra have been immersed in ministry since childhood and have been serving this community faithfully for over 20 years. Check out our television broadcasts on WCLF Christian Television Network Channel 2 or HD Channel 1002 on Sundays at 10 a.m. with a rebroadcast on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Visit our website and see a live stream of our services at ALM.TV. Like us on Facebook to see what's going on and check out our YouTube channel at Abundant Life 1550.
Patricia Knoll, you're on a mission to help everybody be good with me. What does that mean?
That means I'm redefining self-esteem so everyone can feel good about who they are.
And how do you do that?
I do that with individual and group counseling, with a webinar, with online courses, and also with the book, Good With Me.
We got to get people to understand, they actually pay attention to the fact that they're actually thinking bad thoughts, right?
That's right. Most people are thinking negatively about themselves and they don't even know it. So it's just running their lives.
So once you get them to notice that in counseling, then you can get them to learn how to
see what they're thinking and then change it
and learn how to have fun doing it, right?
Absolutely. It's all about the fun.
You can practice being good with me, and if you want to be good with me, then I want you to call Patricia Knoll at 727-424-1270. Again, that's 727-424-1270, or
go to goodwithme.com.
Final arrangements. Are you prepared? If not, call Wayne Bright at Wilson Funeral Home in Tampa. Wayne and his staff can assist you in planning all of your prearranged funeral needs. They offer traditional and non-traditional funeral services with available cremation and can even handle any shipping you may require. They are conveniently located at 3000 North 29th Street in Tampa. Call Wayne today at 813-248-6125. That's 813-248-6125. Or visit our webpage at wilson-funeralhome.com. Wilson Funeral Home. You're not just our client, you're our boss.
Oh, so glad you're with us here on the Pete O'Shea Show, right here on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. That's music by the Kathy Curtis Orchestra. And now she's switched over to Ray Charles somehow in the middle of all that. I don't know how she did that. That's very impressive how you did that. I'm Pete O'Shea, Kathy Curtis on the board. We're in the middle of our time with Dr. Patricia Noel. Good With Me is the book that we've been working through, her book that she wrote, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. We're talking now in Chapter 4 about other dependent self-esteem, which, if you're just joining us, means, again, that's the seam that originates from the positive thoughts that other people plant in your head. But maybe they give you a compliment, or maybe they tell you that you're doing a great job at work. And so you're letting other people determine your value, who you are, your self-esteem, your self-worth. And television and Madison Avenue does it. Advertising does it. People can put you down, and then now that's who you think you are. So you're letting other people, you're letting it come from an outside source to determine who you are, yourself, and your self-esteem. And here's the fact that anything external to us is not in any way, shape, or form a reliable or accurate judge of who we actually are. But it winds up happening to almost all of us where we have this other dependent esteem. All right, so now, also sometimes, Doc, it can actually come from our own eyes, right? Tell me that.
That's right. When we think we're doing something right or accomplishing the right thing or popular enough or have the right job or the right spouse or the right kids or the right whatever it is.
The bank,
the car, the house. Then we think
that we have an enviable. Everybody's enviable of what we're doing. Everybody wants to be us.
Absolutely. And what we don't realize is that the way that we're feeling about ourselves is still not self-esteem because it's still dependent upon external criteria.
Right. It's not
everything
just based on
us.
Real self-esteem is just saying, I'm great just because.
That's because
God made me and God doesn't make junk.
That's right. I exist. So I have value.
Right. Yes. Anything else, wherever you have to get it from, then it's not. It's other dependent esteem.
That's right.
Actually can generate from within your own mind.
That's right.
And that is probably one that happens more than even the others because, again, we always are trying to do that. We're always comparing ourselves. We're always trying the next thing, the next promotion, the next day. As soon as you get it, oh, that's not enough. You got to go get the next thing
and so on.
We're never satisfied.
It's never enough.
Wow. Wow.
And why isn't it ever enough? Because we don't have the real self-esteem.
Right.
Because remember, we're just filling an empty void. The other keeps coming and going, right?
Right. So that the other dependent esteem is so fleeting, it doesn't sustain. Real self-esteem does sustain. If you work at it, you make it happen, you know? So again, anytime you're looking at something with an external criteria, it's always going to be other dependent esteem.
That's right. Even when it's a product of your own thinking.
All right. Now, as you come down to you do each chapter, which I really love, the exploration and discovery, where you let people try to really work it out. They should be writing these out. This is where you do the work in this book, okay? I love the question, what type of esteem do you think you have?
Yes.
Not what kind of esteem do you have? What kind do you think you have?
That's right.
Right?
That's right, because it's the thinking that makes the difference.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all think we have self-esteem.
Yes.
We all believe that. Well, I mean, most people do.
Yeah.
Right? But in the end, what they actually have, most cases, is other dependent esteem.
Correct.
Yeah. And so we wind up getting our approval, our basis of who we are, our understanding of what we mattered, and how much we valued
from
others. Wow.
Yes.
How much of knowing that you look good is based on external criteria, and not just on the fact that, again, God doesn't make junk?
That's right.
Yeah.
But if it's based on external criteria, it's, do you think I look good? In whatever way looking good means to you.
And again, if you're a child of God and you exist and you're alive, you look good.
That's right.
You're beautiful. And that's all you need to know. It's not based on, again, what movies say is beautiful or what other people say is beautiful. It's what God thinks is beautiful, which is you, or else he wouldn't put you here.
Right. Do we ever stop to think who established the criteria for beautiful?
Yeah, who did?
Where did it come from?
Where did it come from?
Right? And yet we're living up to something that we don't even know where it came from, and we aren't even sure what it is. And here's the kicker, Pete. It keeps changing.
I was going to say that. The needle keeps moving. They keep moving the goalposts back.
That's right.
So it doesn't really matter because that's fleeting anyhow. This year it's this. The next year it's that. Next year it never stays the same.
Never.
And so we're chasing rainbows here is basically what we're doing.
We are.
All right, so let's clear up any remaining confusion right now.
Okay.
Any esteem you have for yourself that comes from anything other than just because you exist is other dependent esteem, and it will not last.
Absolutely. Will not last.
The little voice inside of our head. Talk to me about that. We all have that little voice.
Yeah, that little voice that's always wondering, what do they think? What do they think? Am I good enough? What are they thinking about me right now? Do they like this? Do they approve of that? Am I doing this all right? And it's that chattering, that voice that's just incessant. And we all know what it is. We all have one if we're honest with ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
It's just chattering away nonstop. Everyone knows the voice I'm talking about. It's the one that keeps questioning if you're good enough, if you did something good enough, if you did it right.
And that voice never stops. And sometimes we can be very cruel to ourselves in that voice, can't we?
Yes, because it lets you know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. And we all know that. We all have it.
It doesn't give you a break. It's really cruel.
It's nonstop. In our own head, we do that to ourselves. That little voice constantly, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it enough.
Right.
They're looking at you. Nobody's happy with you. You didn't do it. Look at you. You don't look good. Look at that person next to you. Look how handsome or beautiful that person is. And you can't stand next to that person. You look horrible in comparison. We do that to ourselves constantly.
Yes, we do. And we wonder why we aren't happy and why we don't feel good about who we are.
But as you've said many times, once we can have conscious awareness of that's what we do, we can actually then start to change that behavior pattern, can't we?
That's right. Because how many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, wonder who in the world is doing all that chattering up there? Right?
Yeah.
Who's doing that? If we're even aware of it at all.
Exactly. But we're not. We're not aware of it. But now, as you're reading this and you're listening to us, you can become aware of this and say, you know
what?
That's right. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop beating myself up. And I'm going to stop incessantly hounding myself to be something that I shouldn't be. And I'm just going to be me, and I'm going to be happy about this. The next exploration discovery question, I love this one, too. How do you feel about yourself when you're experiencing a glitch in your life? You know, you're not sure how everything's turning out. At that point, where's the self-esteem? How do you feel? Where are you getting it from? Who are you searching to for value?
Right. When something you were depending upon didn't really make you feel good or as good as you thought it would. Now what?
Wow. And then what happens when, let's say, a big rush of other dependent esteem is suddenly taken away?
That's right.
Maybe there was one person in your life who always showered you with compliments. And now all of a sudden, from, I don't know, circumstances beyond your control, that person is no longer in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And now all that's gone.
Right.
Like that, overnight.
That's right.
What happens now?
And now you have nothing left, and some people take some very drastic measures because it's gone. You know, people will curl up in a ball and pull covers up over their head and not get out of bed for days. Other people will drink their sorrows away or drug them away. Some people will jump off the Skyway Bridge. You know, and why? Because there's nothing left when those things that we depended upon that are outside of us are taken away or are gone for whatever reason. We don't have anything left if we don't have any self-esteem.
So at that point, this could be absolutely devastating to anybody. You're talking about depression, anger, rage. You're talking about even, you know, criminal behavior or suicide at this point.
That's right.
Yeah, because again, we've depended so much on that one person, on whatever they were, or something.
Or even money. You know, we've seen that during economic downturns where people jump out of high-rise buildings and do all kinds of things because their money defines them and gives them their other dependent esteem.
Wow. All right, the last exploration and discovery question of Chapter 4, I love it. What if you never receive another compliment from anyone in your entire life? How would you then feel about yourself?
We're going to leave that for some homework, aren't we?
That's some homework. I want you guys working on that one. All right? I want you working.
Yeah.
That's why I need you at least 10 times a day to tell me how nice I am, Kath.
Yeah. That's really a good one. I like
that. That's a really good question. What if you never received another compliment ever again for your entire life? How do you think you would feel about yourself? That's your homework. I want you guys to work on that question. You know, again, once we understand this concept, then we can start to change it, can't we? Then we can start to change that dependency on approval, and we can get to the actual root of things, can't we?
That's right. It takes, first of all, owning it and admitting it, that, wow, this is where I am in my life. And then getting the awareness, because without the awareness, we can't do anything about anything.
Right.
So we have to know what we're dealing with.
And once again, once you have that conscious awareness, it is at that point possible to change that mindset. Now you can say to yourself, and it's going to take a process. It's going to take work. You're going to fall backwards sometimes. You're going to have to catch yourself doing it a bunch of times. You're going to have to build momentum towards it. But you can, in fact, turn that around.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's very possible. This book can help you do it. Dr. Noll can help you do it. This dependency upon approval of others is at the root of the four attachments, which is what we're going to talk about next week. That's chapter five, the four attachments. So again, this all goes together, and you can see, if you follow these patterns, how you can turn things around.
Right. And it's, I'm going to encourage everyone to start to make it a little bit of fun. And every time you gain a little bit of insight into yourself, go, aha, this is getting easier. This is more fun now.
Yeah.
Because it does become fun once we understand some of the concepts.
It does. I've been doing it like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. Aha!
Right.
I got it. All right. Very good. Goodwithme.com. Get yourself a copy of the book. Get it for friends also for Christmas. It's a great thing to give everybody. Dr. Noll, thanks so much for everything you do. And thanks for helping me out. And Kathy, we feel so much better every week after we read this with you. It's just so awesome. Thank you so much.
That's awesome.